I kind of like that we've got different people doing different things, hearing different people read the scripture, but I've got to admit that this is the first time this morning that I saw someone handing out the bulletins turn it into a money-making enterprise, as Jim was doing this morning. Although I never saw anybody actually give him the 50 cents he was asking for, but I owe him $1.50 because I had to put it on my tab for me, but then I had to add it to my tab when Isaiah and Candy wanted one too, so that they could have theirs. But okay. Anyway, he offered the elders a 50% cut too later when Tom walked by, but. Let's get to something else this morning. I've thought a few times and that actually it seemed like out at a graveyard, during a funeral, as you go to the graveside service, that sometimes what's most important in life really becomes clear at that point in time more than anything else. I kind of the first time it stands out to me that I was thinking about that was actually my first funeral I ever preached was my grandmother's funeral, my mom's funeral. And out at the graveside, as she was being buried, it really came to me that what's important in life seemed really clear there out at the graveside. I can think of another time and also at a funeral, she was buried in Archer City later on when I was minister there. Elsie McWhorter, one of the members there, former member there, her and her husband had actually moved down near their daughter, but they brought her back to be buried there, and I did her funeral, and same thing became clear. And also, one thing I will say, though, I do think, not in those two cases, but I think sometimes in our society there's a certain hypocrisy at funerals, and maybe that's the wrong word to choose, but I don't really not come into my mind a better word, that really at funerals, a lot of people will go to funerals that don't, and I'm even talking about some people that don't go to church a whole lot, or church is not a priority and things like that, but then we get together when someone dies and we'll say things that he's in a better place or she's in a better place and things like that. When, for those who are Christians that dedicate their life to the Lord and things like that, I think we absolutely mean that. But sometimes out there in society, there's people that will say that when spirituality is not a priority in their life, and I don't know that they really believe in life beyond the grave. It's kind of this nice thing to assent to or to believe to when a loved one dies. And I've been in, and I'll give another example or situation. And, sometimes at funerals, and I still hope, obviously the hope is or the desire is that they are in a better place. But I preached funerals where I really did not know. I felt confident in my grandmother. I've said before, I felt like that, I identify some with what the Apostle Paul says about Timothy when he talks about the faith that first lived in his grandmother and then lived in his mother and now lives within him. And I felt the same way. I felt like my faith came through my mother, but I also think my faith came to her in many ways through her mother, my grandmother and stuff. And I felt, I felt confident, and it was a positive thing, even though it's sorry to see her go. It was, her funeral, she had lived a full life. She had kids, she had grandkids, she had great-grandkids, and a lot of them, and she had a very full life. But, I remember preaching my Uncle Kenneth's funeral, and I don't remember how many years ago now, but I didn't have the same confidence. In some sense, he somewhere along the way he had been baptized, but church really was not a priority in his life. And I'm there with his my cousin, his especially his son that was very close to him and things like that, and I'd absolutely like to believe that he was in a better place, but you know, his values, his life, and even the last couple years before he died wasn't necessarily consistent with that. And so there were a lot of concerns on that side. And I'm just saying, I guess I'm saying a lot of things, but I think it becomes clear at funerals that you know, if you, at least if you're a Christian and you believe that there is, as I think most of us here do, believe that there is life beyond the grave, that what's really important is not this present world, is not this present life, that what's really important is what kind of values that we have, and the love we have, the faith we have, the dedication to Christ we have, that Christ lives in us, and all of those sorts of things are what's really important. And it becomes clear there at funerals, and you realize it reminds you that this life is temporary, and it reminds you that we believe as Christians that we are made for eternity. I was thinking a little bit about this morning, the Apostle Paul's statement in Philippians chapter 3, that he says, to write the same things to you is not burdensome. And I felt that way because I know I've talked about some of these things many times before, but to say the same things to you this morning is not burdensome. Because we live in a secular age. And whatever else that involves, it involves a focus on this world and this life. And I think sometimes it creeps its way in here inside the church building, into some of our own attitudes and some of our own perspectives on life, that we become this worldly focused. But you definitely see it in society at large. That we live in a society today that is not spiritually minded. We, you know, if you talk to people, I mean, maybe a fair amount of people have the idea that we're raised from the dead at some point, that there is life beyond this life. But a lot of people, I think, they think the real life is what we have in the here and now. And whatever happens in the hereafter, there would be a lot of people in our society that might just say, no one knows. No one knows for sure. And, you know, to a certain degree, I understand, you know, some focus on this life. You know, as long as we live in this world, we might as well make the most of it. But I think in our society today, by and large, among most people, there's no thought, or at least little thought, given to the afterlife. One of the things that's, you know, one of the differences I notice between even the two parts of Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, is in the New Testament, the emphasis on the afterlife. Greatly seen in the teachings of Jesus. I mean, no one emphasizes the life beyond this world more than Jesus. But really, you see it in all the writings of the New Testament. You know, there may be a few references to life beyond the grave in the Old Testament. In Acts chapter 2, it will quote from Psalm 16 and a few other places. But really, it's few beyond, you know, few and far between. It will talk about the grave and so forth. But it's so much so that it's not as much an emphasis there that one group of Jews, the Sadducees, during the time of Jesus, the Sadducees don't even believe in the resurrection from the dead. As you get to the last days of Jesus' life, and of course the Pharisees are asking the question, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? And the reason they're doing that, the Pharisees are trying to trap them. They want to get them in trouble. I mean, ask them a question where either answer is the wrong answer, is I think their philosophy. But the Sadducees, they ask this question about this woman that's married and has, you know, all these different husbands, and says in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Well, they're trying to, you know, ask Jesus a tough question about the resurrection because they don't believe in the resurrection. And that's just, you know, that's just to say, though, when you turn to the New Testament, you know, Jesus' teaching and his life and what he thinks is important is what happens in the life beyond this present life, Jesus thinks is very important. And I think about the scripture that was read. It's a little bit earlier. It's a very simple scripture, but a very profound scripture. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth or rust consume and thieves do not break in and steal. And you think behind what Jesus is saying, that what's really important and where we really ought to stock up our treasure is not in this present life, but in the life to come. And it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter whether we live in a big house here or a little house here. It doesn't matter whether we have lots of treasures here. I mean, it may matter. Maybe we're better off if we don't have much treasure, because he says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But it doesn't matter whether we have lots of treasure or we have little treasure here. What matters is what is laid up for us in heaven. And really, Jesus is very clear that matters a whole lot more than what we have and what's going on and how great things are in the here and now. Or you think of simple things in the Beatitudes, you know, the last Beatitude, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, but when Jesus goes into blessed are you when people, you know, revile you, they persecute you, they utter all kinds of evil against you, he says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Now that really strikes us as odd. Blessed are you when people insult you and revile you, and that's, you know, that's normally, I think, and I'm being sarcastic, but that's normally our attitude. And we normally don't think that way. When people are speaking bad against us and things like that, we don't think that's a good thing. Of course, he's talking about Christians and Christians being reviled because of their faith. And Jesus says you are blessed. And he says you are blessed. He doesn't say you're blessed because it's pleasant to go through right now. He says, blessed are you because great is your reward in heaven. And it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter in the long run if we're reviled, if we're persecuted, if we face hardship in this life. Because what really matters is the life to come. That I think central to Jesus' thought and central to his teaching is this idea that what ultimately matters is what happens to us when our life is over. It's the parable of the rich fool, Luke chapter 12. It's so many more of his teachings. He'll say things like, do not be afraid of those who can destroy the body, but the one who can destroy both body and soul. The latter talking about God, but don't be afraid those, he says, don't be afraid of those who can destroy the body. And if you think about it, if this life is all that there is, then we should be afraid of those who can destroy the body. If this was all it was about, you know, we'd have good reason to fear. But he says, don't fear those that can only destroy the body, because there's something a whole lot more important than what happens to us in this life. Or the verse I decided to use as kind of the text for the message this morning comes from Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Very familiar verse. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory with his Father, with the holy angels. And so if you're wanting to understand the context and understand what he's talking about thinking about the future when the Son of Man comes in the glory with his Father and the holy angels. When Christ returns, that's the afterlife. That's what we're talking about. And he says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? the things we put stock in, and we actually, you know, the word stock, of course, you can buy stock in companies and things like that, but the things we often put value in, stock in, whatever you want to use, are things that have to do oftentimes with this world and this life. And Jesus says, don't be concerned about this life. Be concerned about true life. Be concerned about life to come. You know, there's one of two possibilities is true, and I know which one, you know, 90% of us here this morning believe or not, but one of two possibilities. Either there is no afterlife, and all a Christian teaching through the generations is wrong, or there is an afterlife, which means many of us, and especially our society at large, is putting way too much emphasis on this world. I guess kind of to follow up on that, you know, and of course we're in the second camp, and I believe that Christian teaching is true. I believe that there is a life to come. But two things to say about it. One, it does matter what we do and how we live in this world. But it's not the way most people think. It matters for our eternal destination. You know, Jesus will say, give alms, make purses that do not wear out. He give to the poor, make purses that don't wear out. It matters whether we give to the poor. It matters whether we nurture the Christian virtues like love and faith and hope and all these virtues that have to do with living the Christian life. Our lives on this earth matter tremendously. It's not about what we can accomplish in an earthly sense during 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 years. And it's not about having a monument on earth built in our name that people remember us, or having a plaque someplace, you know, that we, you know, which is not a bad thing, but that, you know, you gave to this park or something like that. But it matters because it's about living the faith and living the kind of life so that our names might be written in the book of life. In the end, it really doesn't, you know, that's all that matters, is whether or not our name is written in the book of life. So it does matter how we live in this world, but I think our focus, and really many of us even as Christians, need to have more focus on the life to come. One of the Christian virtues, and I mentioned it just a moment ago, one of the Christian virtues is hope. Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, these three abide, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And the love is the supreme Christian virtue, but he mentions faith and hope right alongside love. And of course, we know faith is, you know, dedication and commitment and believing in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But the one that sometimes, and it is probably mentioned less than the other two, but the one that sometimes gets forgotten about is hope. And the hope that the New Testament talks about, hope from a Christian perspective, is talking about, Paul will use the words, our hope laid up in heaven. It's not hope in a general sense of being hopeful for the future, which can be a good thing too, but Christian hope is focused on the life that awaits us beyond this present reality. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for instance, where he talks, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's the hope that our Christian hope is about. It is a hope that we have beyond the grave, and it doesn't matter how young or how old you are. You know, I've seen young people that were very spiritually focused and talked about heaven. And I've seen people in their 70s and 80s that were very secular. I mean, it's not like you reach a certain age and if you've been, you know, if you've been secularly oriented or focused on this world all your life and then you turn 70 or 80 and then you're all of a sudden become spiritual and things like that. Normally it doesn't work that way. There are conversions. There are people who are converted later in life, and that does sometimes happen. But a lot of times the person who at 40 or 50 is very secularly orientated, when it comes to their 80 or 90, they're still focused on this life in this world. And so it really has to do more with a spiritual mindset. I don't think that we are made for this world. And I do believe that we as people are made for eternity. But here is the sad truth that goes alongside that glorious hope that we have. Is most people are going to miss out on eternal glory. You know, the fate of the lost and what exactly is going to happen to them, that can be another discussion for another day. But Jesus says, narrow is the road that leads to life, and there are few that find it. And those are not mere words or scare tactics, although I think he is urging us to enter through the narrow gate. He is urging us to ask and seek and find and knock as part of it. But the truth is, for most people, spirituality and godliness is not the priority of their life. It's just not. And there's a whole lot of people out there that their focus is absolutely a focus on this world and this life. They want to get the most out of this life, this present life, that they can. Now, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. This world is our training ground. You know, this world, we have joy. We sometimes have excitement. You know, the birth of a new child, the birth of a new grandchild or great-grandchild. But there's also hurt and pain. There's various kind of lust and desires that people have. Some of those are good, some of those are bad, some of those are good but can turn bad if we turn them to focus on the wrong things. And God has given us a notion of good and evil. Sometimes our notions of good and evil can get completely twisted and backwards. That's why in Proverbs it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Our understandings can get out of whack and messed up. But we have notions of good and evil nonetheless. This world is our training ground. This world is not our destination. You know, it's kind of like someone joins the army and they go to boot camp or basic training. And I think, you know, I looked it up, and people here know a lot better than me. I've never joined the army, so my dad was military. He was in the army. I've never been. But I think it's like about 9 weeks. And I'm sure when you're going through it, if you're going through boot camp, I'm sure it can seem longer at the time. But you don't. Most people don't join the army so that they can get to go to boot camp. It's something they have to endure, you know, it's something they have to do. It's part of the process and things like that, but it's part of becoming a soldier. But in some respects, I think this life could be compared to boot camp. Obviously, it lasts longer than 9 weeks, but this is not our ultimate goal. It's not our ultimate destination. Those who serve God and love God will find a life that extends beyond this present world and this present life. And in many ways, this world is our training. This is where we learn to love others more than we learn to love ourselves, or more than we love ourselves. This is where we learn to practice patience and kindness and self-control, to learn to be the kind of people that are destined for a life beyond this world. This is where we learn to trust God. When things get all messed up and bad things happen and we don't understand how everything's going to work out, we become like the Israelites out in the wilderness that are trusting God to provide our daily needs. Give us, Lord, manna for today, and let us not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have enough worries of its own. And so it matters how we look at this life. If we view this world as our destination, then we're going to pursue life and the things in this world the same as everybody out there does living in society. But if we look at this world as one step along the way to our final destination, which is to be with God, to be with Christ, to experience the blessings of the hereafter, then we can even deal with struggles and trials and temptations from the perspective that we realize that God is trying to conform us into the image of Christ and make us into the people that He intends us to be. But I guess, bottom line, my point this morning, we need to focus more on heaven. We need to focus more on the life to come. We need to view ourselves as pilgrims, as travelers, and remember that our citizenship is in heaven. We need to go through life with at least one eye on the life to come. If anyone's never turned to Christianity, if anybody's never given their life to Jesus Christ, we urge you to do so, because it is in our best interest long term. Anyone that wants to come, we invite you to come while together we stand and we sing.
To the fountain.